Good morning. It's lovely to see you all. It's great. It's great. I just love coming on a Sunday to church. It's great to be with those that love the Lord. It's really good. I want to talk to you this morning about what will make a difference to our ministry as a church and to our lives as individuals. What will move us into effective witness? What will help us serve the purposes of God in our generation? What will give me life in all its fullness? The answer is power from on high. Power from on high. Do you ever really think that that relates to you? Power from on high. Do you think it relates to the disciples of old and not to you? God promises power from on high. The Holy Spirit, as we've heard a good bit about already today, is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person and he is God. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples before his death and resurrection, he said this to them in John chapter 14. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you. And Jesus is telling his disciples what's to come. He doesn't want them to be backward looking when he is gone, away from them. He wants them to be forward looking. He wants them to see that they're not in a worse state now than when he was around. They're actually going to have something better, something different, power from on high. It's interesting that the Council of Constantinople in 380 AD gave the Holy Spirit the same recognition as the Council of Nicaea did in 325 AD for Jesus. It took a long time for the church to recognize that Jesus was God and that the Holy Spirit was God. And you know, it's sometimes a long time today. The person of the Holy Spirit and his divine nature sometimes eludes some people. The disciples of Jesus were with him daily for 3 years. They saw everything. They heard his teaching. They experienced his ways. They saw the kinds of things that he could do. But they still didn't really have much understanding. They could see it, but they couldn't get it sometimes. They didn't have a whole lot of staying power. When Jesus wanted them to pray with him for a while, they fell asleep. When Jesus was threatened and arrested, they ran away. They had a different agenda. It says in Acts 1, these words, during the 40 days after that he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He was talking to them all the time about what was to come. And once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom. Here's Jesus promising something quite amazing, and they've got a different agenda. They're looking to see when is the time that you're going to make the kind of kingdom we're expecting. And Jesus replies to them, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But, and he gets back on the subject, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They didn't understand the kingdom of God. They didn't understand the kind of kingdom that Jesus was bringing in. And they didn't understand the power that he was promising. In those verses in John, Jesus said seven things about the Holy Spirit and his relationship to the believer. The first one, the Holy Spirit would be a gift from the Father. Our Father is always giving us gifts, a gift from the Father. The second thing, the Holy Spirit would come as a result of Jesus' intercession. And I will ask the Father, and he will send. It was a result of Jesus' intercession. The third thing, the Holy Spirit is an advocate, counselor. The Greek word is parakletos, one that comes alongside, or comforter. And fourth thing he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. Forever. It's no limit to this gift. He will be with you forever. The fifth thing, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you into all truth. The Spirit will only lead you into the truth, and he will only witness to the truth. If you've heard people say, the Spirit's told me this, this, and this, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, it isn't the Spirit that's speaking to them. And so we need to be there to be able to test, because the Spirit only leads into the truth. Six, the Holy Spirit can't be appreciated or understood by the unsaved. The world cannot accept him. The Holy Spirit means nothing to the world. And then seventh, the Holy Spirit would be in our hearts. Jesus came alongside and was with his disciples. The Holy Spirit would come alongside and be in the disciples. And the result of this is that Jesus would be as real to the disciples when he was gone from them as he was when he was there with them. You see, the Spirit reveals Jesus to us, and Jesus reveals the Father. He's the image of the invisible God. The more of the Spirit that we're filled with, the more of Jesus we know. The more of Jesus we know, the more we know the Father. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples about what is to come, what's available to them. They're not losing out because he's leaving them. There's so much more. And I want you to get a hold of those three words today. If you go out with nothing else, there's so much more. John 14:12 says these words. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. There's so much more. Jesus is preparing the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because that's God's only way forward. The way forward is through his Spirit. And we are ignorant if we think we can bypass the Spirit. And there are people, and there are even churches, who think that today. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that's at work in salvation, convincing and convicting of sin. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us and shows us all things that we didn't see or maybe understand before. And 1 Corinthians 2 says this. This is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Isn't that an incredible thing to know, that the Spirit shows us God's deep secrets? No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us, so that we can know. So little do we know of the wonderful things that God has given us. There is so much more. Are we missing it? Are we missing it? We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are commanded to do that. Why is it a command? Because it's the only way forward. It's the only way forward. When we want to live for him, then it's only through his Spirit that we can do it. We can only truly live the Christian life with the Holy Spirit. There is so much more available to us if we will reach out and ask. Luke 11 says, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" I love those words, "how much more." When I became a mum, I suddenly had a kind of love for somebody else that I hadn't experienced before. Even for your husband, when you've got a child, the love is completely different. And when I used to think about how much I loved my son and then read those words in the Bible, "how much more will your heavenly Father love you?" I thought, wow, Lord, I didn't think you could love any more than this. How much more? Our God is an amazing God. And he wants to give us so much more. Again, I want to ask, are we missing it? Are we missing it? We're told, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts and the anointings and the callings of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, "Let love be your highest goal." Love is always the top thing. Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to be able to prophesy. Prophecy covers speaking into people's lives the very word of God. Maybe God gives you a word for somebody and you go to them, and at just the right time, that word comes into their lives, just what they need at that point. You know, God wants to gift us in those ways. So when we speak into each other's lives, we're speaking the words of God. Sometimes it is a word to a whole church. Sometimes it is saying what will come. You know, we need to test and weigh all this, but nonetheless, there's so much more. How much are we going after it? If we hardly give the Spirit a place in our lives, how ever do we receive what he has to offer? How do we experience power from on high if we don't give the Spirit a place in our lives? There's so much more. And as we've already heard in prayer and Aaron saying, we can grieve the Spirit, the Bible tells us. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, "Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you were his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So we can grieve the Spirit by the way we live. If I grieve the Holy Spirit, then confusion replaces clarity, the clarity of his voice in my life. I can't be reminded of the things that I need to know. I can't be led into all truth because suddenly nothing is clear anymore if I'm not living the way the Lord has called me to live. And we can quench the Holy Spirit. This happens to individuals as well as in churches. You know, I was saved in a brethren church when I was 11 years old, and I was there all through my teenage years into the beginning of my 20s. And in the brethren church, they were so loving and they were so amazing, and they taught the word of God and they really stood on it. But they didn't believe that the gifts of the Spirit were for today. They felt they died out with the apostles. And they didn't believe that women should speak in church or lead, but only to other women. And so when I went to Emmanuel, and the minister and a couple of the leaders there asked me if I would be on the leadership, I said no. I thought, they're asking me something that I shouldn't be doing. I got no peace, I've got to be honest. I was saying no, thinking I was doing the right thing, but in my heart, I had absolutely no peace. And they persisted, and they kept asking, and I kept saying no. I was 26 at the time. And then I knew that what I was saying wasn't the right thing, that I was actually in danger of quenching the Spirit in my life if I didn't say yes. And so I said yes, to be totally honest, only on the night they were voting. I actually finally said yes. And that went ahead, and I had a real peace in my heart. Same when they asked me to speak. Hang on a minute, women don't speak in church. But it was the men that were saying to me, we want you to speak. And it's been my real privilege over the last 46 years to move with what the Spirit has said to me. Now, don't get me wrong, I've got it wrong plenty of times. Plenty of times. That's how you learn, I guess, along the way. I've messed up big style. But nonetheless, when you surrender to what the Lord has for you, God can do amazing things in your life. Don't quench the Spirit within, because his flow to you can be like cut off. If I'm to experience what Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit needs to feel at home in my life. And he needs to feel at home in my church. If the Holy Spirit isn't in our church, we're putting on some good programs, but we won't have the response that the Lord wants through our work. How we respond to the Spirit shows how much we love God and how much we love his Son. You know, our ignorance sometimes of the importance of the Spirit in our life doesn't alter God's insistence that through the Spirit is the way he works. Through his Spirit. So we need to be open to the Spirit. What is being open to the Spirit? Well, it's humility. I don't have anything, I don't know anything, and I need the Spirit to guide me into all truth. And it's awareness that all of the time I need more of the Spirit. I need to be being filled, as you've heard that present continuous tense so many times. Go on being filled with the Spirit. And it's desire, a deep-seated desire to find God and miss nothing from him that could be received. Nothing. Our God, we've just read, has no mind has conceived what he's laid up for us. And I don't want to miss it. So often I do, but I don't want to miss what he has. And then lastly, it's knowledge that God is willing to give me so much more. Do you believe God is willing to give you so much more than what you have? If I'm not open to the Spirit, How can I live like Jesus? How can I live like him? It says in Galatians 5, it tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. And it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed to the cross their old life, these words said, and crucified it there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading. And so how can I possibly live the Christian life without the Spirit? I don't have any supernatural qualities in my life without him. I don't have a supernatural love for everybody that God is calling me to have. I don't love everybody in the natural. I've got to be totally honest with you. I don't have joy every single minute of every single day unless it's in him. I don't have peace in every situation unless it's the peace that comes from him. Because in my own natural self, I don't have those qualities. But the Holy Spirit in me makes all of those things available to me. And the difference in the disciples before Pentecost and after was incredible. These people that we were saying didn't have that staying power or couldn't, you know, say they knew Jesus, they all forsook him and fled. The difference, now they had a holy boldness. Now they had a power in their lives, a fearlessness to tell others about the Father and the Son. And it was the Holy Spirit that made the difference, power from within. And the Holy Spirit brings supernatural giftings for the building up of the body of the building up of the church. And you know, sometimes churches get worried about the gifts. They get bad reports, or they've seen the flesh at work, and that happens. We've got to be honest here. You know, that happens. That's why the Lord calls us to test and weigh everything. But Dave Carr once said, if I scald me lips with a hot drink, do I say no more drinks? No, we don't, do we? God wants to baptize us with his Holy Spirit and with power. Power to live well. Power to do great things for him. There's so much more. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives and not be quenched or cut off. To move in the supernatural, to live a supernatural life that's full of his love and joy and peace and all those other things. Ask yourself, am I still the same as I always was? Or is your power at work in me, changing me? Have I still got the same attitudes when I first came to the Lord? The same loves and hates? The same thoughts about others? Have I still got those same things? Or is his power at work in me, changing me? Changing me regularly? Changing me more, molding me more to be like him? Am I doing the same things I always did because it's comfortable? Or am I open to the Spirit working in some new way in me? Doing something that I'd never thought about myself. Doing something that's outside of the box, if you like. Am I still doing the same things? We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. And you know, Acts 2 says this. On the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were meeting in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they would be bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. There's so much more, friends. So much more. Do I want it? I just want you to sit, stand, whatever you want to do at this point. And if you feel that you want, I mean, as Christians, all of us want more of the Lord, otherwise we're not really going on the right path to some degree. But I mean, if God is really speaking to you, if you want more of him, if you've been quenching the Spirit in your life, maybe, and really you need to push on beyond that, then maybe the Lord wants to just fill you afresh with his Spirit today. Or maybe you just feel that you haven't got that boldness to speak about the Lord. Well, maybe the Lord wants to fill you afresh with his Spirit today. Let's stand, and Howard is just going to play, and we're just going to wait on the Lord. And you reach out to the Lord for whatever you feel he's saying to you. Have you feel that you've not got that so much more that he is offering, and you want more of him? Just stand and hold out your hands to him. And let him come and minister to you afresh. If you want people to pray for you because you've struggled all your time with the Holy Spirit, then come out. And Lee, myself, Chris is on the front row here. We'll pray for you and ask that God, by his Spirit, will fill you afresh. Let's just wait on the Lord at this time. Howard is going to play Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Fill me anew. Fill me anew. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Let's stand together. And just as you're waiting on the Lord, or if you want to just come to the front for prayer, that's great. Otherwise, just ask the Lord to fill you afresh.